blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter number 11, stanzas 1-4. O Jehovah, hear my words. To my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. 1-4 of Psalter 11.
from God's holy and precious word out of the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 11, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 11, the first 13 verses. And it came to pass that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, Thy servant Elisha did intercede for a dead child. And we are not Elisha, but we do have an office, as he had an office that was given unto us by thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou may remember each and every one of us. We are traveling as pilgrims through this world. We soon have to come to the end of our journey. And it is either life or it is death. And the way that we have lived, so shall we die. O Lord, what can we say unto thee? We are worthy that thou shouldest cast us from thee. Because thou knowest our hearts, both young and old together, there is nothing in us that we can lay before thee with which thou canst be in the least pleased. Thou knowest it is all corruption from our sight. We have fallen dead in Adam, our covenant head, and we have received that nature that does not love thee, that is dead in sins and in trespasses, that is carnal, that is of the earth, earthy. And there is none of us that is able to change our own nature. O Lord, thou dost say in thy holy word that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is every one that is born of thy spirit. O Lord, that which is flesh is born of the flesh is flesh. And thou knowest that we are flesh. Until that we are born of thy spirit. And we can only beseech it of thee. But thou dost proffer it in thy holy word. As we have heard in these moments that we are called to ask and to seek and to knock. O Lord, wilt thou give us to do so with all our heart and with all our might and all of our strength. And thou knowest those that do have desires that are planted by thee and do find themselves impotent. But so they did lay upon by that pool of Bethesda, all impotent folk, the blind, the lame, all that could not help themselves. And thou in thy great goodness did stir the waters from time to time. Oh, could it be that thou would stir the waters in this afternoon? Lord, that thou from thy side may give thy power to be experienced in our midst. And thou who art everywhere present, and thou who hast the power to heal those who have fallen dead in sins and in trespasses as we. And thou knowest there was there a man waiting for 38 years. And Lord, thou knowest whether there are such impotent ones that have been waiting for 38 years, waiting for the moving of the waters, and may see this one brought in and that one brought in, and they are left behind. O Lord, thou knowest where they are. Who do long for thee, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, but who cannot help themselves. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou may work as no man can work, and that thou may do for them the wonder that they desire. Look thou upon the whole congregation Thou knowest we have no such desires of ourselves. And we go on from day to day without a longing, without asking. O Lord, Thou knowest what we need. It must be Thee that is first, and Thou sayest Thou art the first, and Thou art also the last, and Thou knowest those who need Thee also as the last one, because they cannot uphold it, they cannot hold on to it, they cannot keep it, not for one moment. And they do fear that they also will lay on their deathbed, having no hope. O Lord, that Thou, who art the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, that Thou may visit them where they are and show Thyself unto them undeservedly. Care for all the needs and the wants of families, of relations, husbands and wives. And wilt Thou look upon each one in all the needs that are in this life, wherein there is so many consequences of our sin, and that we might learn to love God above all, our neighbor as ourself, and then especially our loved ones closest to our hearts, that we may be given kindness, that we may be given the fruits of Thy Spirit, and that it may be evident also in the midst of us that there is concern for one another as we travel to that great eternity together, and we'll stand together on that great day of days. Care for the sick, the afflicted. Remember the nations in which we dwell, and there also where elections are taking place. O Lord, we have left Thee. O, leave not us. Care for us in Thy mercy. Do remember the denomination, the a theological school, our teachers, our student. Visit them, help them, be near unto them, care for our own office bearers, because the labors are very many, in catechizing, in house visitations, and Thou knowest their wives also, and their children. O Lord, give help from above, strength from above, courage from above, love from above, and a little blessing from above. Be with us this hour. Help Thou us in the bringing of Thy word. Give us a little strength, therefore, and the unction of Thy most Holy Spirit, that all things would be done decently and in order, and that there may be food in Thy house, and that the meek might eat and be satisfied. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart. And though paths of saints are fraught with evil, thou showest favor to thy people. The extra collection today is for the mission. Psalter 439, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul has written, we are saved by hope. Not every hope is saving. There is but one hope that is saving to the soul. That is what Paul said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Last week, there were 9 persons from our congregation that may make a testimony that they are not a complete stranger of that hope. Even though that it may be small, even though they cannot exercise it as they will, yet not a complete stranger of it. And what does that mean? That means the rest who have also been invited to make such a testimony were not able. And congregation, it is a good thing to be honest, but this is very serious. And why is that serious? Because we cannot die that way. Whether we are young or whether we are old, then there is nothing that is more important than that we would receive this hope before that we have to appear before God. How long have you yet to live? You say, I do not know that. One thing we do know, it is not long. Because James says that our life is a vapor that appears for a little while. And then it vanishes away. And then we have just that little vapor when it appears in the world for that little time, before that it quickly vanishes away, that we would obtain that necessary hope. If we have that, we have everything. And if we miss that, we miss everything. And then we die like the rich fool. And we enter into an eternal misery. That is a hope, congregation, that is to be attained. We read that in the Word of God. That is the reason the Lord has given to us His Word, and that He has declared that hope in His Word. And that is the reason that He has sent His servants, that they may preach also this hope in the midst of this world. But we also read something else in that word. We read that that is not to be gotten. Easily. That it is not to be gotten without labor. Because the Lord Jesus says it is through much tribulation, that is through much pressing, that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And that is now also what our text words do say to us, that we wish to meditate on in this afternoon. You can read them in Luke chapter 11, the second part of verse 8. Luke 11, verse 8b. Yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So far the words of our text. Importunity in prayer. First, the necessity. Second, the cause or the motive. And third, the fruit. Importunity in prayer. First, the necessity. Second, the cause. And third, the fruit. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. That is the request of the Lord, of the disciples of the Lord. Do you ask that too? Do you not know how to pray? We read about Israel when they were under bondage, that the Lord heard their groaning. Their groaning. Is that all it is anymore? Has it become, after a long time, without words? We read that Paul says we know not what to pray for as we ought, and that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thus it is also the Spirit that does receive for his children by way of groaning. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He gave them the substance of prayer. He gave them that substance in a certain form, we would say. The Lord's Prayer, maybe you know that very well. Maybe you use that every day. Maybe you hear that, children, every day. But did you actually ever pray it? Or do you just repeat it? That you do not even think anymore about the words and the substance that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Because that is not praying. And we should not think that we will obtain anything from the Lord by praying in such a way. It is good, of course, in an outward way to acknowledge the Lord, and that we cannot receive anything without him. That is what we do when we fold our hands and when we close our eyes. But this is insufficient. True prayer that is heard and that is answered, the Lord Jesus says, is actually something else. And the Lord Jesus also taught his disciples about this, and he spoke to them a parable after that he had given them that substance. Then he spoke to them this parable, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. That is the parable. And then he says, I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. It was not actually very easy for a man to rise and give in circumstances like that, because of the way that they slept together with their children. It says their children in their bed, and when they laid those mats, then they lay together also with their children. And thus it was not easy for such a man to rise and give to him, because he would disturb the sleep of his children. And thus that man needs a compelling reason why that he would do such a thing. And now the Lord Jesus speaks about that. He says friendship. He says because he is his friend. You say, well, that should be a compelling reason that he should rise and give him. But that friendship apparently is not sufficient. He cannot get him to rise and deliver him from his predicament. And so then more is necessary. And what is necessary? Well, we read, importunity. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him. Thus, the Lord Jesus says, this is effective. It is his importunity which is making his friend rise and willing to disturb the sleep of his children and to give unto him. It is his importunity that is sufficient to cause trouble unto himself and to cause trouble unto his family when they are sleeping in the middle of the night. And thus the Lord Jesus instructs his disciples. He says, what is now effective? How shall you get an answer? Because he taught his disciples to pray. He taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. He gave them the substance, what they should pray for. But then he says, how are you now going to get an answer to your prayer? Because you come to a throne of grace, you come to the throne of God, what will now be effective that you may receive from him? You like to know that? What the Lord Jesus says will now be effective. You like to know that, boys and girls? Do you have something that you would like to receive from the Lord? Because the Lord has things to give. And if we desire the things that the Lord has to give, then we will want to know what will be that way that we can, as it were, convince the Lord that the Lord should give them unto us. Do you want to know that, young people? Do you go on your knees only as a matter of form or custom? Do you pray in your inner chamber? Do you have needs that your father and your mother do not express at the table? Do you have your own case that you need to lay before the Lord? Do you like to know how that you can get an answer from heaven? The Lord Jesus speaks about that. He speaks about importunity. Thus, what is that? And what now is the cause of it? That is our second thought. That is a Greek word. It is used only one time in the Bible. And that is here. And that word means shamelessness or impudence. Impudence, to be impudent. I think we know what that is, right, young people? To be impudent. That was not very considerate of this man when he goes to his friend in the middle of the night. We read that it is midnight. It is midnight. Say that is impudent. It is opposite of what we would call courteous. And we would say to him, why don't you just wait? Why don't you be kind and courteous to your friend and wait until the morning? And then you can go and ask him what you want. But he does not. Maybe he did feel somewhat ashamed. And yet that shame, whatever shame he may have felt, did not stop him. It did not stop him from going to his friend and troubling his friend, even when normally he would not do such a thing. No, it did not prevent him to go even at midnight. He knocks. He wakes his friend. He asks his friend. And what kind of an answer does he receive? Well, you say he receives a negative answer. His friend does not want to do this, to give him a few loaves, because then he will wake his children. And so he receives a negative answer. And what does that mean, man, do? Well, does he go away? You say no. No, he just waits there. And he knocks again. And then he receives that same answer, maybe. And a little while later, his friend, he hears it again. And he says, he is still there. He is still knocking at my door. Finally, he says, I can in this way get no rest. In this way, my children will awake anyway. And so I have one solution. And that is, I am going to rise and I am going to give him what he needs, because he is troubling my sleep. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, that is not enough. Yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him. Because of his shamelessness, his impudence, and then he is not ashamed that he is being impudent to trouble his friend, to make him rise at midnight. That's not very friendly. Right, young people? What makes that man so impudent? What makes that man shameless to do this thing that normally he would never do? Well, you say that is his need. That is his need. Here it is, the need of his other friend. A friend of mine in his journey is come to me. and I have nothing to set before him. Thus this friend of mine, he is journeying and he is hungry. Maybe he has not eaten for a while. And I will not now send him to bed on an empty stomach. That was in those places also as a host, that a very shameful thing if you would not feed your guest, if you would not give him of your table. And thus there is a need, and that need that is sufficient to make him bold. The need is sufficient to take away the shame that he normally would have had when he went to bother his friend in the night. What made that man seek this from his friend? Well, he believed that his son had the loaves. He believed that his friend had what he needed. Therefore, he went to him. He also believed something else. He believed that his friend had a heart to give it to him. And there was also something else. He had nowhere else to go. Where else could he go? It was midnight. Thus, there is no other place that he can receive what he needs. And then he tries. Well, why did that man now not go away? Well, he says, where else? Where else? If I don't get it here, if I don't get it from this friend who has it and who has a heart to give it, then I will get it from absolutely nowhere. And now the Lord Jesus tells his disciples this parable. And then the Lord Jesus makes an application. He says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord Jesus says, this is the way that you will get an answer. That you will get an answer. When you will do as that widow did to the unjust judge, that she troubled him with her case, her own case, and that she would not let him go about her own case. The Lord Jesus says that importunity is necessary because he will not rise to give him because he is his friend. Yet it is because of this importunity. It is because he does not stop. It is because he does not let him go. And now what is causing the importunity? You say that is his need. That is now the hunger. It is now the greatness of the need, which is overcoming the shame that is making him to be so bold, to do so daring a thing, as it were, to bother this friend in the middle of the night. Oh, when there is no great need, well, then we can be very, very, very courteous. And we can have a nice prayer. We can have a nice form. And we would say, well, we can just wait it out. But what do we read about Peter? When he is sinking in the water, and when the waves are ready to come over his head, oh, then he says, Lord, save me. Oh, then it is the great need that makes it that they are not able to wait. As this man who is not able to take no for an answer. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Let us sing 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of 188. importunity in prayer. First, the necessity. Second, the cause. And third, the fruit. Yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. That importunity is troublesome to men, but such an importunity is not troublesome to the Lord. No, it is a delight. That is what the Lord is desiring to hear, that men would seek it of him. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. That is not just a statement of a common proverb that was common to repeat among men in their time, no. But that is the promise of the Lord. That is the way it is. It is a statement about what the reality is. That everyone that asketh receiveth. The Lord Jesus speaks here to whom? He is speaking here to his disciples. He's speaking here to his own people. When he says, ask and seek and knock. But those disciples, they soon have to go over the whole world, to the different nations of the world, outside of that Jewish people. And that church is soon going to be gathered from all the nations of the earth. And now among those nations are going to be found many people that will fold their hands, and who will close their eyes, and who will be taught by the apostles and by the further ministers, and they will be taught to pray. But they are not all going to receive when they pray. And what does the Lord Jesus say here? He says it is because of the lack of importunity. All our religion by nature is a form. It is a heartless form. We do not even do what is natural, like a child to ask his mother if he may have this or that, and he is waiting to look for an answer, but we are asking for something that we are not even desiring, and that we are not even looking for an answer for. And then we say, oh, why is it that I have been praying for so many years and I never get an answer? And the Lord Jesus, he says, because that is no asking. That is not the kind of asking that I'm speaking about here when I say to ask and to seek and to knock. No, he says, everyone that asketh receiveth. There are no exceptions to that. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Thus, this asking that he is speaking about is an asking in faith. That is like what James says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a man who is tossed with the wind in the sea, and he says that that man should not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, he says, is unstable in all his ways. How was it with this man? Where is his stability? He has not a double mind. He has not a doubtful mind. No, he has one mind. He knows what he needs. He knows what he wants. And he knows where alone it can come from. And because he knows where alone it can come from, he remains right there. He remains right there. There are so many that say they have faith. But it is no faith. And there are others that would never claim to have faith. And yet the Lord Jesus says that they have faith. He says that faith is evident in the fruits. The faith is evident in what flows out of it. What did the Lord Jesus say to that Canaanitish woman? Oh, woman, great, great is thy faith. She was not a Jew. She was a Canaanite. Would she have said that of herself? I think not. But where was it evident? It was evident in her importunity. It was evident in her asking. In her seeking, in her knocking. It was evident in her not going away. Why did she not go away? Because she had a need. She knew what she needed. And she also knew where she could get it from. And she also knew that there was no other place that she could get it from. And thus when the Lord Jesus says, O woman, great is thy faith. What was the fruit of that faith? That it kept her at his footstool. Through all the disappointments that did come to her. Oh, then she says, to whom else shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And now the Lord Jesus says, that is great faith. Everyone that asketh receiveth. That is now the true church. Without faith, there is no importunity. There is no perseverance. Otherwise, it is like a morning cloud. And we pray one day, and then it is all gone the next day. And without importunity, there is no answer. That is, congregation, the plight of the greatest part of the visible church. No importunity. And why no importunity? Because there is no need. And why no need? Because there is no faith. We do not believe. By nature, dead in sins and in trespasses. What do we not believe? Well, we do not believe in the first place our misery. Do you believe that? What is your misery? Can you say that? Do you feel miserable? Do you consider it to be misery? To be without hope? Having no hope without God in the world? Do you feel that to be your misery? Or is your misery only that you have a guilty conscience, that you have to suffer many inconveniences and pains in this world, but now to be without God for your own soul, to be a lender, to be out of your land, to be far from Him who created you. What do we not believe? We do not believe that we have to die and that after death is the judgment. We do not believe that. We are not afraid to die. Well, maybe we are afraid to die. We are not afraid of the judgment, because we don't believe it's a judgment. Because if we said you had to come to an earthly judge this week, then you might be afraid. Then you would believe it. And you have to give an answer for what you have done. And then you will begin to seek. But when we say, out of the Word of God, that when we die, we appear before God and we need to be judged, we don't believe that. Oh, congregation, why do we not believe it? Does our conscience not testify? Who placed that conscience in you? Who placed that conscience in every man in the whole world? It's not in the animals. It's in men that have a soul. Who placed that conscience there? Why do those who do not have the Word of God feel guilt? They've never heard. Never heard the law. They feel guilt. There is only one reason. It is because they have a soul, and because we know that we have to give an account. Oh, why do we not tremble? Why is that? Why do we not tremble? If we would tremble to think of going before an earthly judge, why do we not tremble today? It is because we do not believe. We have every reason to believe. It's clearly felt in our conscience. It is clearly stated in that Word of God. And if we never come to believe this, we will never begin to ask. We'll never begin to seek. And we will never begin to knock. Judas he believed. Say he believed what? Or he believed that there was a judgment. Judas was afraid. And yet Judas went eternally lost. Why is that? It is because he despaired of the deliverance. Do you despair of the deliverance? You do not need to despair of deliverance. No, the Lord declares that deliverance also in the Word of God. And that Word of God is worthy to be believed. What does he say? He says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembleth at my word. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You ought to believe that. That is true. He himself says that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you believe that? You ought to believe that. O congregation, do believe this. Because if you believe this, oh, then you will begin to ask. Then you will begin to seek. And you will begin to knock. And you will do this with importunity. That is, when you get no for an answer, or you will come back, you will remain there if you believe this. Or, and then one day you shall receive an answer. Why? Because he says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, do you believe this? You ought to believe this. Because that is the word of God. And there are no exceptions to this. That is the word of the faithful and of the unchangeable God of heaven and of earth. I say unto thee, who said that? That is Christ himself, the Son of the Father, who knows the Father, and who also himself sends the Holy Spirit. I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. What does that mean? That means he will fully satisfy that people. As many as he needeth. That when he is giving to that people, that there will be nothing that is lacking, or they will receive an abundance for their hunger and for their thirst, because in him is everything that is able to satisfy every one of the needs of that church. Oh, will you stay there then? Will you stay there then? Will you stay at his throne? Will you stay there believing that he indeed will do? He indeed will do as he says he will do to everyone that asketh and that seeketh and that knocketh. O congregation, know you will then not be disappointed. Ask, seek, knock with importunity, and he will rise. And he will rise, and he will give to you everything that your soul desires. Amen. O Lord, humble us under thy goodness. It is a wonder that thou sayest such a thing, that we may receive everything only by the asking, only by the seeking, only by the knocking. We have not to merit it. We have not to be worthy, but thou givest it out of free and sovereign grace to everyone that asks for it. O Lord, teach us then to ask. O give to us that single mind, that we might know what our need is, that we might know from where we can get it, and that we may remain at thy footstool until we receive it, and that we may magnify and glorify thy name forever and forever. Dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all of our many sins. Be thou with us in the week to come. Remember her, and that must receive surgery in this week. Wilt thou make all things well? And wilt thou bless the means for her body, guide the hands of the physicians, and give thy blessing upon it all. And wilt thou visit her soul, and with thy salvation also under these afflictions. And wilt thou bring us with desire together in thy house, upon the weekday also, and when we hope to commemorate Reformation Day. Lord, strengthen us to be able to bring thy word, and give us a substance that thy people may be fed. Forgive thou all our sins. Remember our school, the children, and the teachers. Help them, Lord, day by day. Give the tender fear of thy name in the midst of them, and in the midst of the families, parents also, to instruct their children in the fear of thy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 12, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, rebuke me not in anger. Chasten sore, I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me. Lord, how long wilt thou delay? 1 through 4 of Psalter 12. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.